desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word. Written the title of the burden the Lord had put on my heart, The Figless Tree. And that is a parable that Jesus related over in the 13th chapter of Luke. You'll turn with me. 13th chapter of Luke, we'll begin reading with verse 6. It says, He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. There are a lot of implications in this passage of Scripture. This Scripture, this parable that Jesus told, had some very direct reference to the nation or the people of Israel, specifically as a nation. The Jews had rejected Christ as the Messiah. And I'd like to examine that just a little bit this morning, but it also had very personal implications as well in God's dealings with mankind. The parable that He told here, very clear symbolic significance. The vineyard that He gave a picture of is a place that God had especially prepared. It wasn't just going outside and saying, I'll plant a tree here and scatter some seed over here. But a vineyard is a place that is very carefully prepared for the purpose of growing fruit. It's not just like any field, but there's special preparation that goes into it. And the vineyard owner then would be God. And do you know when God comes looking for fruit, God has a right to expect it? God prepared a very special place. And when He came looking for it, there was no fruit. The same thing in the Garden of Eden. God had made a very special place for mankind. And He went, in essence, looking for a return from them. Looking for them to worship. Looking for obedience. Looking for a relationship. And He didn't find it. Because they chose to do differently. And the gardener here, the dresser of the vineyard, is Christ. And God comes walking along and looking, and He said, I've planted a vineyard here, and I've looked, and here's this fig tree, and it's not bearing forth fruit, and I've come looking for fruit for 3 years. It's not bearing fruit. He said, we need to cut it down and use the space for something more valuable. And Christ, in His love and in His long-suffering, said, God, would You give me one more year? Would You give me a little bit more time with this fig tree and let me dig around it and till the soil and put fertilizer around it and give it another opportunity to bear forth fruit? And then if it doesn't bear forth fruit, then He said, then next year we can cut it down. You know, this was the condition of the children of Israel. They were God's chosen people. God had prepared a special place for the children of Israel. He had loved them. He cared for them. He looked after them. He'd sent the prophets. He gave the law. And yet they still rejected Christ as the Savior. They didn't bear forth fruit. So God then sent John the Baptist, remember, preaching a message of repentance. Turn from your wicked ways and repent and turn and accept that Christ is coming. He was a forerunner of Christ. And the Jewish people, again, as a nation, there were individuals that accepted the message of repentance. But why should I repent? See, we had the prophets. Abraham was our father. And they went back to the history of what God had done for them in the past. And they would not, as a nation, humble themselves and repent from their ways. Does not that sound very familiar to the condition of our world today? They had the prophets, they had the covenant. But Jesus, the Scripture teaches us in John 1, in the first chapter of John, verse 11, It said, he came unto his own, speaking of Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Jesus came to his own people as a Jew, but his own people rejected him and did not accept him. But aren't you thankful the story didn't end there? It said, to as many as received him, Jew or Gentile, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. This parable is a testament of the long-suffering of God. He bore with the children of Israel. You just read in the Old Testament, chapter after chapter, of how the children of Israel turned away from God and went back to idolatry. And the Lord had mercy on them. And God had mercy on them, and He still dealt with them. He'd send another prophet. He'd send another lesson. He'd send something along to try to wake them up that they would turn back to the Lord. And I see the same long-suffering of the Lord today. The Lord is not willing that any of us should perish this morning. The Lord does not want any of us to be barren. He doesn't want any of us to be the figless tree. But He wants us all to bear fruit this morning. The Lord is interested in all of us being blessed by the Lord. He wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Peace? It's love, it's joy, it's long-suffering, it's gentleness, it's goodness, it's meekness. Doesn't that sound good? As opposed to what we see in the world today, there's heartache, and there's strife, and there's contention, and there's guilt, and there's a lack of joy and a lack of peace. I want to have fruit in my life. But it's going to take humbling myself and repenting of any wrong that I have done and turning to the Lord. But the Lord is not wanting to cut any off. But He wants to work with us. I have sat back in amazement at the long suffering of the Lord. I have been amazed, and almost to the point in my prayer, I got to a place with one situation. I thought, Lord, how merciful can You be? You've been merciful. You extended love and mercy over and over again. And I almost felt guilty praying for the Lord to extend His mercy. But you know, that's who God is this morning. He loves us. He loves all of us. And that's why He died for us this morning. And He's not willing that any of us should perish, but He wants to get us all to the place that we can be fruit bearers, that we can accomplish our purpose. That fig tree was planted for a purpose. You were born this morning. All of us were born for a purpose in our life. But if the fig tree does not bear figs, what is it accomplishing? What purpose are we working for this morning? What is our time and our energy? What's our focus in life today? There is one purpose and one focus that's going to be worthwhile in eternity. And that's going to be to accomplish God's purpose in our life right now. I want to bear fruit. But if we're not bearing fruit, you know, the Lord Jesus is the one that's standing there saying, Lord, would you give me just a little bit more time? Would You let me fertilize? Would You let me work with this individual just as He did with the nation of Israel? There is another passage of Scripture. It's a very beautiful passage, but a very sad one. In the 5th chapter of Isaiah, and it correlates with this parable that Jesus told. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1, He said, Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching His vineyard. The expression there in the Hebrew really bears out that it was a term of endearment. I'm going to sing a song, have some poetry to my beloved. Speaking of His vineyard. So He's talking to God here now. And He said here, my well-beloved hath a vineyard. God has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And He fenced it. Now He's speaking again of the people of Israel here. He fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof, and He planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and made a wine press therein. And He looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. And this is a very sad passage of Scripture. And understand this. It's giving the picture of God looking down on the world and providing a wonderful place for the children of Israel. I looked after you. I gave you everything that you needed to bear fruit in your life, to bear good fruit. And when you should have been bearing good grapes, you just brought forth wild grapes. They weren't tasty. They weren't sweet. They weren't good. He said, I gave you all of this. And then there was a question asked. He said, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done to it? God looking down saying, what more could have I done? I think about parents today that have wayward children. And sometimes they take the blame upon themselves. But yet, how God felt when He did everything He could and He said, what more could have I done? But God has left the choice to every individual to make a decision whether we are going to serve God or not. The best father, the best mother, remember the prodigal son? He chose to leave home. But do you remember the father still loved him? The Lord was still there waiting with His arms stretched out, wanting His son to come back home. You know, that's how the Lord feels about each one today that has left the fold. And the Lord looked down on Israel and He said, what more did you want? I gave you everything you needed to have a blessed life and you chose not to do it. What more could I have done? And He went on to say, and now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. A subtitle to this message this morning is the goodness and severity of God. His long suffering is His goodness this morning. His love. But there was also a judgment and a penalty. He said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do now to my vineyard because I've cared for it. I did everything possible and you still rejected me. And He said, I'm going to take away the hedge thereof and it shall be eaten up. In other words, the enemy is going to come in. That vineyard that had that wall around it and that hedge of thorns to protect it from the enemy, God said, I'm going to take the hedge away. And the enemy is going to come in. And He said, the wall thereof shall be trodden down. I'm going to lay it waste and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come briars and thorns. And I will command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. Very specifically, He told us what it meant. You realize this morning that God took the hedge away from the children of Israel? It was in A.D. 70, those of you that know your history, because see, Christ came with a message of hope to the Jews. He came with a message of hope to all people that would receive Him, but the Jewish people rejected Him as a nation. God had protected and defended and led them, but we find in A.D. 70, the Romans under Titus, they came to Jerusalem and they besieged it. And it was one of the most gruesome sieges or famines that has ever happened in history. To the degree that the famine was so great in the city of Jerusalem that they said there was record of mothers eating their children. Horrible, horrible things. The hedge had been taken down. Do you know that God does not cause evil this morning? But when God removes His presence, what's left? Because it's God that's good. It's God that is love. God is love. And where God is working, there is hope and there is love and there is goodness. But when God takes His hands off and steps away, what is left except heartache and evil? That's the world that we live in this morning. God is still working with people in the world, but the longer people reject God, the more evil we're going to see. And that has happened in our country as a nation. That one time had greater values, had greater morality, had a greater respect for the things of God. But people that today would say this is a Christian nation, it's getting real close. I take exception to that. The government, the laws that are being pushed, the philosophy of this country is not drawing us to a closer walk with God. It's actually in opposition to the very standards of morality and holiness that the Bible teaches. And so then, God said, I'm going to take the hedge away, I'm going to break it down. The Romans came, they besieged Jerusalem. Historically, they said that there were 1 million Jews that were killed. 1 million Jews were killed, and the other Jews were persecuted and scattered all across the world. There are pockets of Jews in countries all over the world, and it was not until 19 centuries later, it was in 1948, that the nation of Israel was established. They lost their homeland. For hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, they were scattered to the wind because God took the hedge down. He took the wall. He said, you rejected me as your God. And so He took a step back and let them go to their own devices. This morning, that's a little bit of history, but it speaks of the long suffering of God because for hundreds of years, He dealt with them as a people, as a nation, chosen of God. He cultivated. He gave them opportunity over and over. There was a warning given. I'm not going to take the time to read it this morning. Actually, I want to read one passage out of it. Romans chapter 11. Paul gave a warning to the Gentiles. He gave a warning to the Gentiles. And I'm just going to summarize it because I don't have time to commentate on every one of these verses this morning. But in the 11th chapter of Romans, beginning with verse 17, moving down that passage, Paul was warning the Gentiles. He said, yes, the branch of the Jews, in essence, he was referring to the Jews, they were cut off. Those branches were cut off, and you as Gentiles had been grafted in. You've been grafted in because the message of the gospel was to whoever, Jew or Gentile alike. If you would receive Christ and repent, you could come into the fold. But he said they lost out with God because of a lack of faith. Because of a lack of faith. And he was warning them as, you're no different. If you lose your faith in God, you also will be cut off. If you lose your faith in God and lose your integrity with the Lord, he said the same thing's going to happen to you. And so in verse 21, he said, for if God spared not the natural branch, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Let's learn this morning from the figless tree. Let's take lesson. Let's learn from it this morning because it speaks of the long-suffering of God. He keeps calling. And aren't you thankful for those that you have carrying burdens for, the unsaved? It's, Lord, would you extend mercy to them? Would you keep calling after them? And do you know God hears those prayers? It's prayer that, as an intercession, that stands many times between the lost and God extending His mercy to them. We find Job while his children were out partying. We find Job at home offering sacrifices. Lord, would you have mercy on my children? We find when God was going to destroy the children of Israel, when they had disobeyed Him, Moses stood before the Lord and he said, Lord, just destroy me then. Just destroy me, Lord, because if you're going to take them, I'm not going to have anything left. And the Lord had mercy on the children of Israel. You know, our prayers this morning for the lost are not in vain. And I want to go a step further. If you have unsaved loved ones this morning that you're carrying burdens for, and sometimes we can begin to take upon ourselves the responsibility for it. What more could God have done? What more could He given? He gave His Son and He gave every individual the freedom to make a choice This morning, God is not forcing any of us to serve Him, but we're free moral agents, and we have a choice to make. Am I going to bear wild grapes and live how I want to live, or am I going to repent and submit myself to the One that can cause me to bring forth fruit in my life? And I am thankful that even when people are not bearing fruit, Jesus is there saying, give me more time. I don't want them to be cut off. That's the goodness of God this morning. Behold the goodness of God. But there also comes a time when the Lord takes a step back. And then we begin to see the severity of God. And I believe we are beginning to see in our generation some of the result of God leaving men to their own devices. And my heart goes out to the young people that was spoken this morning. You are facing a society that is rejecting God. There are many that may even, we still live in a time where many people profess God, but they're not accepting Him in their life. They're not living for the Lord. Well, because the Scripture says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. But God's grace is still sufficient. God, the Holy Spirit will still enable you to live godly even in the face of all of the influences of evil that are so prevalent around about us. You can still make it. And I'm so thankful for that. God will not reject or leave His children alone. If you want to serve the Lord this morning, there is power in the blood of Jesus to enable you to live successfully for the Lord. But we need to stay close to the Lord. When we began to behold the severity of the Lord and His judgment, I gave the example of the Jews when the Lord took down the hedge and He respected their choice and He stepped back. They experienced many difficult things. But do you know that God doesn't just do that on the spur of a moment? Because the fig tree, the dresser there, the owner said, I've come looking for 3 years. And it hasn't borne fruit. Now I've heard say some that, well, fig trees, you know, do not bear fruit except after 2 years. That's as soon as a fig tree bears fruit. It takes 2 years, and they say even up to sometimes 5 or 6 years for a fig tree to even bear fruit. This was not that time period. This was a period after the initial growth of this tree, because this was the owner. He owned this vineyard. He knew what was going on. He gave it a time period. Folks, the Lord gives us time. The Lord gives us time. He doesn't expect all of a sudden that once we're born that all of a sudden we're just icons of great spirituality. He gives us time and He works with us that we can grow and mature to bring us to the point that we can begin to bear good fruit. After they reached that point, The owner kept coming year after year saying, are they bearing fruit yet? The answer was not yet. And finally, he got to the place he was to say, we need to move this out. And Jesus said, give me more time. I am so thankful the Lord still does that for us today. Have you ever felt a little judgmental at someone? You don't have to answer. You ever thought, you know, the Lord just needs to bring down a little judgment here. Aren't you thankful He didn't in you? Aren't you thankful that the Lord had mercy on us when someone else might have said, all right, enough's enough. And the Lord Jesus was saying, just let me work with Michael a little bit more time. Y'all be merciful now. Let me work with him. Give me a little more time. Do you know that's the Lord that we serve this morning? He loves us. He cares for us. That's His goodness. But I also do not want us to forget this morning the severity of God. When the children of Israel, when God had promised Abraham, He told him to leave his homeland, remember? And He told Abraham, He said, your descendants, in essence, they're going to be in a strange land for 400 years. Slavery in Egypt. But He said, I'm going to bring them back. And there is a very telling scripture that maybe sometimes we tend to pass over a little bit. But you'll find in the 15th chapter of Genesis, In the 16th verse, it says, but in the fourth generation, they're going to come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. In other words, it was more than just the Lord saying the time is not right for the children of Israel to come back to Canaan land. God was saying the people that are living in Canaan land, their cup of iniquity is not yet full. They're evil. But it's going to get worse, and I want to give them more time. You ever consider that? The Lord wasn't just delaying the children of Israel coming in for their sake. He was that. But He was also looking at the Amorites saying, I want to give them some more time before I take their land from them. That's the goodness of God. In 2 Peter chapter 2, it says in verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them in the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ash, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Moving down to verse 9, it says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. You say, well, what does all that mean? I know different ones have speculated on what those angels that were cast, that spared not the angels that sinned, cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. I want to read a scripture that is in conjunction with it. In Jude chapter 1, it said, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example. Want us to understand the passage of Scripture. Where are Adam and Eve in all this? You see, when he spoke of the angels, he was speaking of the messengers of the Lord, those, and you study this out, it's actually referencing, there's a glaring absence of the greatest sin that was ever committed if you leave Adam and Eve out of it. And it was Adam and Eve that lost their first estate, was it not? God created Eden for them. He designed a special place, but they sinned and they lost that first estate. Those early patriarchs, beginning with Adam, are these folks that God's talking about here. If God did not spare those angels, those people that God placed there, they sinned, but He cast them out to be reserved unto hell. And then He talked about Noah. And then he talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. Those are the events of major judgments in the world. In the Garden of Eden, Noah, Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the meaning of these passages of Scripture here. But God had mercy on those that followed Him, but there was judgment against those that turned their back on Him. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. He said, for if they escape the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Speaking of those that one time knew the Lord. Speaking of those that should have been teachers, but they began teaching things that were false. He said in verse 21, for it had been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. That's a pretty severe judgment, isn't it? If God was warning us here. It is better for the person that has known the way of truth and departed from it. It would have been better, Jesus spoke of Judas and those that betrayed Him. He said it would have been better for them to have never been born. Because there's coming a time where God's judgment is going to be placed on all unrighteousness. Especially in the end of time. But folks, God's judgments are on the world today of those that are rejecting Him. He's long-suffering, but there is a judgment, and I would to remind us all this morning, it is a dangerous thing to know truth. It's a dangerous thing to know truth and turn your back on it. Because the judgment is going to be greater on those because there's greater accountability. If my children do something that's wrong, I might discipline them. But the discipline is going to be greater if they knew, if they said, "Dad, I didn't know, I'm going to have some mercy. I'm going to have some mercy." But if they knew it was wrong and they did it anyway, the punishment is more severe. And that's what the Scripture's saying. It would be better to have never known the way of righteousness. Folks, we are blessed with truth. If you know about Christ and you know the way of salvation, you are blessed above many this morning. But let's not turn away from it, because there's great accountability that we have. Because when the hedge is taken down, have you seen God, the hedge taken down in someone's life before? Folks, I have seen God step back from people that have rejected Him over and over and over. And I've seen God step back and their lives turn into a great wreck, because they rejected the Savior over and over and over. I don't want the hedge taken down. I want to stay in a place where God protects me. I want to stay in a place of safety. I want to stay in a place that even with all the troubles that we still face in life, that there's a place of refuge that's in the Lord. And you know that refuge is for all of us today? I'd like to conclude this morning in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Very solemn passage of Scripture. He said in chapter 3, verse 7, he said, "But the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." This natural, this aerial heavens and this natural earth, it's being reserved. A day of judgment is going to come. And he said, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Do you not see the goodness of God this morning? He is delaying the end of time in the hopes that someone else will come and repent and be saved. And so He's withholding His judgment. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." This world is going to be destroyed. And then he leaves us with another verse. He said, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" What manner of persons this morning ought you to be when you consider the figless tree? When you consider the long suffering of God to His people? When you consider the Lord standing there saying they're not bearing fruit, but don't cut them off yet. I'm going to give them some more time. I'm going to deal with them longer. There comes a time that the Lord takes the hedge down. And when the hedge comes down, people get more sinful. They get wicked. They do things that they would have said, "I would never do that," because God has stepped out of their life. This is the world that we are living in, and we're seeing it more and more. Over in the second chapter, in the first and second chapter of Romans, it talks about the lifestyle that we're seeing becoming more prevalent in our world today. It said God gave them up. See, He gave them up to a reprobate mind. It's the world that we're living in. It's not that God made people evil. It was that He took a step back. He took the hedge down. And folks, when the hedge comes down in your individual life, when it comes down in your family, when it comes down in a congregation, when it comes down as a nation, you will see much evil things taking place, because the presence of God helps kind of control evil, even for people that aren't serving Him. Even ungodly people that have a fear of God, there is a measure of protection that comes from that in their life. But we're living in a society that is rejecting God, and the Lord said, I'm going to give them up. In other words, I'm going to take a step back. There is a day of judgment coming. Knowing this, the goodness and the severity of God, what manner of persons ought we to be in all manner of godliness? May the Lord help us to remember the figless tree. I want to bear fruit. I want to humble my heart. I want to be in the place that I can bear forth fruit and let the Lord work in my life. Because when I look at the consequences of not doing that, I don't want to go there because I see the severity of God. Amen.